Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead Radio, and with me today is our leading lady, Melissa Wilson, who is the CEO of Networlding Publishing Incorporated, and I think we've got a treat here with our topic because Melissa is going to talk to us about becoming a published author and how this is the new business card. So, Melissa, welcome to our show, and how are you today?
I am wonderful, and thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, we're so excited because I, you know, like I said, I resonated with your title and went, you know what, as a published author, you know, there are so many ways that it really increases your credibility, your visibility, and opportunities as a thought leader or a subject matter expert on something, you know, whatever your niche is. So I'd love if we could start out with, I want to know what you mean by when you say become a published author, it's the new business card. It's like, what were you thinking of when you said that's what a new business card is? Give us a little bit of detail on that.
Yes, well, thank you. The concept is that people remember you when you have something to share that's really impactful. And I hate to turn the tables back on you, but you got me all excited when you were telling me prior to going on live about your new book, because I think that's a perfect example. When you're talking about how women sabotage their careers and talking to men how they see it, I actually have done, most of my clients happen to be men for whatever reason. I get a lot of executive men, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, C-level, etc. And because so many of them want to talk about networking, which was my specialty I built up before 6 years ago when I said I'm going to reinvent myself and help others write books because I had done 15 of my own. That's where I started. So, yeah, it was fascinating. That's what they, what they would tell me about their perception of women, really helped me get a deeper understanding. And they wanted to write each one of them. I had the president of Holland Cruise Lines, the head of HR for the NBA, the head of a division of Allstate, and they all wrote networking chapters. And that's what they said.
Oh,
that
wow.
It was very, very similar that women do sabotage themselves and they don't, there are so many things that they don't do. For instance, they don't turn around and write books. Now, you're a smart woman and you actually turned it into the tool that becomes the new business card. And with so much noise out there, it's a great entry point because, as I say, there are over 7 million authors now on Amazon. And, of course, they're not all business book authors. But still, right, compared with 300 million people in the U.S. alone, you're looking still at a smaller number. So things that will create that opportunity for you to rise above the crowd, that's what you want to go for. And one other little thing, there was a woman who ran Citibank Diners Club card years ago, and she would say, I'll be in the room with all the male executives, and I'll say something, and nobody will hear it for some reason, and 30 minutes later, someone will repeat what I said. It's a male, and they'll hear it. So I'm not trying to diss men in any way. They're most of my clients, but
yep,
women need a path to be heard even better, and I think a book helps.
What a great, oh, my gosh, what a great lead-in. And I'm like, I want to come back to something you said, and there's probably 20 other things just on what you shared that I want to ask you. But one of them is, I want to make sure I acknowledge, it's like you didn't say one book or two book or three book. I mean, you are a published author of 15 books, am I right? That's what you said.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes.
Wow.
So I want to ask you, it's like what, you know, most people just like they dream of just doing one book, but what prompted you to do not one, but two, but keep going to publish more books? I'm just fascinated by that, that you would have 15 books under your belt.
Well, thank you. And what I really like, and so there are a number of layers here, but I also liked in your intro where you talked about a woman's journey and how tough it could be. And then everybody wants to hear, if you will, the hero or heroine's journey, which there is even a book out called The Heroine's Journey, which is very, very good. Because women tend to have different journeys. Yeah, the book is marvelous because everybody's on Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey, but women do. The book is absolutely fascinating, and I think it would help your research. So what happened for me was way back when I grew up in a very dysfunctional household. But my father, we had a florist shop. He was an entrepreneur, and it was connected to our house. After we moved out of Cleveland, we moved to Ashland, Ohio. And so here's this florist shop connected to our house, and there's a graveyard behind the house. I mean, it's really bizarre living. I could write my own memoir on it. Another book. That's coming. But, you know, what's so painful, sometimes it takes so long to get through. But what happened was my mother, you know, talk about, it's funny, that you know, the 15 books, but she collected about 17 dogs, and she was kind of, you know, AWOL in our lives. So I was one of three girls, and then a younger brother, like 8 years younger. I kind of raised myself. So one thing that my dad got for me, and we all did have a bedroom in this big home that was connected to this florist shop, but I had a desk, I had a writing desk, and I would write all the time. And that was my healing. That was my solace. And it was a lot of tough things. We were one of four Jewish families when we moved from Cleveland to Ashland, and kids would tease me. They didn't know what Jewish kids were. And then I went to Sunday school, and the Sunday school kids teased me because my mother wasn't connected to helping out with, you know, kind of raising three daughters. So but I had an aunt that would take us each, the three girls, we were all in a row, and I taught myself, or she taught us how to sew. So I went from there and started sewing clothes for other people. I redid my wardrobe. I just kept reinventing myself. And the writing became a big part of it. And I ended up with a wonderful English teacher in Ashland named Miss Postal, and she really inspired me. And realistically, 35 years later, just a couple years ago, I ended up in my Hall of Fame for high school.
And
yeah, it was really neat. And 20,000 kids graduated from that high school. I didn't even know they had a Hall of Fame. But on Facebook, our president of our class, who really helped me write, because I would get A's except when I got to Miss Postal's class, and she gave me A minuses. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong in this class. And she showed me Joe Burns's paper. I looked at it, and I got it. And from then on, I just kept writing. Then I went and got my master's in English and technical writing. And then I went on and got a law degree and got married and went through many years of angst with a husband who sadly had four nervous breakdowns, and eventually moved my boys out of the house when things got tough. Mm-hmm. And ended up on my own, but all through those years I was writing. It was my solace, and so wrote the books, built my entrepreneurial endeavors because I was at a big law firm, but then left and started my own company. I had the entrepreneurial bug in me because of my father, and just never looked back. And I figured one day this is all going to pay off, this connection to writing. And then when I was divorced, ended up truly dating one man after another for 5 years, that they were leaders in the community, top of their game, and I got to travel the world. It was really fun. And then my husband now, second husband, came in, and I said, oh, you're the 2007 model that came in early.
Hopefully a keeper there.
He was a wonderful guy. He is, and we got married in 2009. And he's a creative. And the woman who introduced us, she said, "Talk to him. He's into all that creative crap like you are." So we have a creative room, and I'm in it now. I'm not at our office. I'm talking through in our creative room overlooking the lake in a beautiful condo. And we're both creatives, and we love to give back. And for the last, since 2009, I've been helping other people do what it took me so long to do, but my goal is to help them get there faster and better.
Well, I think that's a great mission. And I know, you know, I want to give some tips to our listeners, and our listeners are throughout the U.S., and so I will have to share, I'm in sunny San Diego, and it doesn't stink here, you know what I'm saying? It's beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful.
I am jealous.
I see the beach. No, little I know, but Chicago's beautiful.
I don't have a
creative room. We'll go with that. But, you know, I know for someone who's authored 15 books, you know, there's always a question that I think a lot of people have of thinking that their first book is, you know, one, I want you to talk about the idea of perfect or just getting it done, you know, because I think so many people leave their it's not finished, it's not perfect thing, along with, we'll hit some others about self-publishing versus traditional, but give some thoughts to our listeners if they have a book idea. I mean, where do you decide that it's perfect or if it is done, or what can they do about that if they've got an idea for a book?
Well, one of the things that I've recommended that people have really done and appreciated and been successful with is to create a spreadsheet, get a spreadsheet, and then go on Amazon, and you can type in, you know, bestsellers under, if you're doing books on leadership or sales or whatever, and then you look at the description of the book, and you will see the ranking. Of course, there's going to be a different ranking for an ebook as there is for the softback or hardback book, but write that ranking down, because anything under 100,000, so one, you know, number one in ranking to 100, those are books that are selling regularly. So you put that down and then sort it in, you know, the different books. It could be up to 50 or whatever, and then you sort them and then start looking at the commonalities and have the columns, you know, when did it come out, how many pages, who was the publisher. And the goal for you is to really see the patterns and also look at, you know, sometimes it's called the Net Promoter Score, the 1 and 2 star reviews and the 4 and 5s. I add them up, and then I also look at the patterns of what people said were missing from the book on the 1 and 2 stars, and then I go to the 4 and 5 stars, what they liked. Your goal is to create a book that has the elements, the gaps, be a complementer. There's going to be a space for you. So an example would be yesterday I was over at 1871, our incubator, which was just named the number one incubator in the country. And I was talking to the person who runs the mentoring program, because I'm a mentor there, and he's writing a book called Mentoring for Startups. Now, he did all the research to tell me, which is good, that there isn't a book like that. That's for mentoring's really big. I mean, you can certainly find it out there, hundreds of thousands of hits, but not for startups. And that's a big trend now. The last 2 months were more people starting businesses than there were getting jobs or going to new jobs. So I think that's what you want to do. That will help you appease that inner voice. And boy, men have it as much or more than women of, I'm not good enough. And throughout it all, I have to keep, you know, bolstering them, because I'm like the cheerleader, coach, and ghostwriter, and helping them get their ideas out. So I'm here to tell you that you have it in you, and you can find your way to that book. And to your point, it doesn't have to be perfect. And believe me, I taught English on the college level. What I do know is even if you're a C or B writer, you can write a good book.
Well, and even if you don't write, so I talk a little bit about, you know, briefly ghostwriting services,
right?
Because I think that, you know, for a lot of people that they're smart as a whip, they have a trade or, you know, they do something in business. And I, you know, specifically, I think for our purposes for this call, because our listeners are business women, is that so many women say, oh, what have I got to say? And yet I've seen women, or even just professionals, who have authored, you know, 50 to 75 page books that, you know, are just tips and strategies and things like that. And I think, gosh, everybody could have something that could elevate their credibility of a how-to or a tips or something based on your profession. Do you see that a lot? That women
absolutely
discount themselves, and I hate that.
Me too, and I agree, because what happens is you fall to that weak link stage, and it doesn't help you, and it you know, find your wingman or wingwoman, let them promote you, so you get that cross endorsement and promotion. So that's something, you know, we do the we're everything here. We're the ghostwriter, we're the help. For me, I do what I wish somebody would have helped me do. So I used to spend $50,000 a book when I would work with executives. So Networlding was written with the first CMO female of Motorola, African-American woman, Jocelyn Carter Miller. And then she became the head of the CMO of Office Depot. And we used to do events with Hillary Clinton, Secretary of Labor, Jerry Laybourne from Oxygen, and you know Nickelodeon before that, and Katie Couric. It was amazing. And you know, it was all about telling stories, and there's so many women that I think have books in them that haven't come out. But to your point, the smaller books are really hitting it now. And even if, for example, the good news is, I mean, there's no woman that I know that wouldn't like to maybe even make $1,000 extra a month. Well, that would be a book, a small book. I just read about one woman who has a book out, and it's $2.99. And on e-books, which are now outpacing softbacks or hardbacks, she's getting 70% of that. So she's making about $940 a month per book. So just think, if you had 10 books like that, that would be an extra $10,000 a month. That gets to be serious, and that's an 80-page book or less, you know, somewhere between 75 to 80 pages. So the white paper, I like to say the book, the book is the new white paper. Why write a book, why write a white paper when you can have a book out? More credibility.
Well, I agree. And it's like I want people, you know, for our listeners just to think about that, you know, if we stick to nonfiction, you know, you have a choice of either going self-publishing or traditional publishing, and each one has its own path. So what would be some advice you would give, also describing what's the difference for our listeners, just so they know the difference, Melissa? But, you know, what would cause somebody to try to go traditional publishing or the other option, which is self-publishing? And what are those two things?
Well, and that's a very good question. And then there's hybrid publishing. So what you really learn
that
is
one.
You can do both, because you can be an author, and the sky's the limit. I had a woman ask, a very, very high-profile woman today. She said, I also have to ask about my daughter, because she's 8 and she's writing these books, and now we're writing them together, and it's about time.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. And
yeah.
So, you know, one can be self-published, one can be traditionally published. Usually, you know, through when people work with me, I look at where they are, and if they want, they have a session with my agent who's out of New York, and there hasn't been a time where he hasn't picked up one of my authors. Sometimes they're getting published, other times we come back and we go forward with self-publishing. But if you know Seth Godin, who's considered to be the top marketer in the world, I was part of his street
team
where he reinvented publishing, and what he said, he would say that you could bookstrap yourself, which means that you use the book as the platform builder. So there's no question content is king, and then, you know, I could also say then networking is queen. Those are two sides of my house, because Networlding was a model I built with Jocelyn from Motorola, and I mean, we even turned it into a licensing program. It's made me millions over the years. Motorola University licensed it, Yale University. So when I look at an author, I look at all the possibilities. And if you are self-publishing, you can self-publish guidebooks, which I did, and my publisher was fine with that. So I have at least 4 guidebooks for Networlding. So teaching people how to network more effectively, and doing that through mostly corporations now. But I have a leadership guidebook, a teen guidebook that the Girl Scouts have used. I have a participants guidebook, a facilitators guidebook. You can create a multi-million-dollar platform. And the other thing is, you get your book, the intellectual property, it's copyrighted, and it's yours for life plus 70 years that goes on to your family. So even a patent, my grandfather invented a number of things, including the bobby pin he called the Hair Pal, but sold it before it made millions. But I went online the other day and looked him up, Philip Haynes, and I found his patents. And
wow.
But they're only for 25 years. But look at the book. It lasts for 70 years. How exciting is that? So realize, the one thing I say to people is be really thoughtful about that book. My goal with authors is to give them the highest quality book at the lowest cost, because, again, that's what I would have wanted. But next year, we're going to do something unique. I have a woman who's one of the top 300 global TED speakers and a top an award-winning journalist, and we're going to co-present a Create Your Book 2016 initiative for 4 months for those people who really want to do the writing but have our help. And
right.
Bring our costs down to about a third of what we usually charge. And so that's something, you know, people can look at on the networking site, but you can also go grab a free book on there, which I think you downloaded, which is Lead Me to Success in Publishing. So anybody can get that for free.
I looked at that and I went, you have so many gems, because I know they're, you know, and for me as an author, people think, oh, I'm going to get this huge royalty check. And, you know, if you self-publish, it's like it allows you to be nimble and a little more flexible, because for me, I private labeled thousands of my book because companies wanted to see their logo on it. And that was a great way for me along with the training. But you talk a lot about how to create an audio book with your book. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know we're on such limited time. We're going to have you back again. I'm just saying, Melissa, we'll have you back again. But how does somebody, you know, look at that of audiobooks? Where is that important in the publishing process?
It is, because statistics show, the other thing I've been very involved with and have a research team, because everybody wants to be a Dan Pink or a Malcolm Gladwell. And
or Purple Cow.
Everybody wants
to be that.
That's right. We all want to be purple, and it's a good color, and that's Oprah's favorite color. But the idea is that you want to be different, you want to stand out, and audio, what statistics show is that people who are executives at that level, you know, most of us want that audience of that, you know, high-level executive that represents a company, and many of us are selling into that space. And with that, they're the ones who are listening while they're jogging or working out or whatever, and they're listening. And podcasts have just exploded, and there's such an opportunity with audio because you can be doing other things. So the audio book, there's a program through Amazon. It's called AXA, and it allows you either to go ahead and pick up one of their I want to say elocutionists, the people who will orate the book, and or you do it yourself. It's heartily recommended, and so, you know, by other experts, and I would ditto this, that I would go ahead and do it myself, because then you can give your extra sidebars on the topic that you're talking about. But, you know, get into that, because that can bring a lot more income. There's one author that I have interviewed who said that he was so forthcoming to say, I've been leading with audiobooks. That helped me stand out. And there are many, there's much less competition with audio than there is going to be up against your ebook or your softback book or hardback book. But the good news is, even self-publishing, you can publish always, like Ingram Spark. So there's Baker and Taylor, and Ingram are the two top distributors. Ingram Spark has a special focus under Ingram around for self-publishing, and you can publish a hardback. So you're in the space now. One is, in anything is possible. There's all kinds of wonderful things you can do. And I was inspired by you, by the book that you're coming out with, because if you take the time to do the research, you remind me of Brené Brown, who's one of the top TED speakers, and she was discovered through a TEDx talk, and she had been researching all about shame and vulnerability, and so now, now she's made it because she gave a TED talk. So the other thing we're going to do in the Create Your Book 2016 is help people do that, because everybody also loves to have the book for the speaking that they could be doing and be ready for the TED, because you really should be able to get into the TEDx, which is more of a local presentation, but you only have that one chance to make a first good winning impression. So that's where we're at, is how to create the winning piece. And I start with mind mapping the outline. That's where I really have created the special kind of a proprietary way of creating outlines that make it so much easier.
So cool. And I have to tell you, just out of full disclosure, it's like, you know, I want to see that TED Talks, it's like we started something this year in San Diego and just launched it at our Women Lead Conference. But you might have heard of TED, dear, but it's like there's Sue Talks now. We launched Sue Talks this year.
Oh, wow.
Successful, unstoppable, empowering women changing the face of business. So
love
we
it.
Want to rival TED, but I have to laugh because, you know, really it's like I know so many folks out here, both men and women, that, you know, utilize TEDx and that really launched them. And then if they had a book on top of it, it was amazing how they got picked up in corporate America and all that. So they all definitely feed into each other. I want to make sure and give you a chance, Melissa, because I think there's so much interest, you know, for people that want to publish books or they have ideas on, you know, a book or being an author and how that works. And it sounds like you've got just a variety of services. If people want to reach you, what would you like to share as contact information and how people can get a hold of you for your services?
Thank you. Yes, I'm very, very low-key, and my goal, I always say, you know, I'll walk you through the process, and if it makes sense for me to help you, I will, or I'll refer someone to you. I'm at Networlding, so instead of networking, it's Networlding, turned a noun into a verb, networlding.com. You can get to me on the contact page. You certainly can just type in Melissa G. Wilson. There's another broadcaster, Melissa Wilson, but we both have, you know, names that are similar. So Melissa G. Wilson, you can get a hold of me. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or email me at melissa@networlding.com. I'm very accessible, love helping women especially, and have a special initiative for young women. Mentor at least 5 young women a year as I can through internships, paid internships. And I call that Leadership 1229 because I'll start at 12-year-olds because I work with kids too. But I've done a lot from 21 to 29, and they're mostly women, and they've been wonderful. And it's really where my deepest passion is.
And I'm with you on that one, sister. Just I think more women need to lead in business, and that's our mission. I love that. And,
Thank you.
You know, my last question, because we're almost out of time, and I definitely want to have you back. I mean, you've been fascinating and wonderful. What's the future for you? I mean, are you still going to continue to author books? I mean, it sounds like you have quite a few, but paint a picture for us with the future and maybe offer a couple of tips for women that, you know, they just want to start with one, and you're on, you know, 16 to 20 at this point. But what's the future for you?
The future for me is to help others do that. You know, I was trying to help at least 10 a year, and now at this point with the Create Your Book initiative, we should be able to help 40 and give that lift, because my goal, my number one value is making a difference, so we want to help more, and certainly I'd love to see more women because I think it's tougher for them to get into this. They don't seem to have the funds, which is very interesting, you know, where a good ghostwriter can cost you $50,000 to $100,000. So I've created my program underneath that price point to get people in, but it tends to be that women can't afford that. So that's why this other initiative. But my big vision, and I love that you're doing the Sue Talks, is I do have a site called The Spark Tank with THE, sparktank.org, which is all not-for-profit initiative. And I hope book clubs all over the world, and I have big plans, you know, to win the Nobel Peace Prize and put the money back into all kinds of mentoring initiatives, and always be helping young women especially, and giving them better starts in life. So I want to see that continue to grow, and I think that's very possible. I was on Oprah with a book, and I've befriended her head of marketing, and she kept saying, well, Oprah doesn't do business books. So I'm going, okay, well, I'll become the Oprah of the business world then. I want to be able to hold up a book and have it sell a million copies. So it's great, and I come by it honestly from Chicago.
I love it. Well, in Chicago, my favorite place is the Art Institute. But you've been a delight, and I know it's like you've got a friend out here in San Diego. Just know that. So
Thank you, our listeners.
I think today was an awesome radio show. I hope all of you enjoyed it. And to everyone that listens to us, you have a great weekend. But I want to thank Melissa as our leading lady today. And I'll share that our leading lady next week is Cindy Darlington, who is the president and founder of Darlington Marketing. And she's going to be talking about, I love this, she's going to be talking about Hail Mary, football for females blog. And so for those of you that know and just have anything to do with football, the female, just know that we're going to talk about how to understand football for females in business. It's a great way to be able to kind of interact with men a little more. So to all of our listeners, you have a great weekend. We're going to be back next Friday again. And as we always say at Connected Women of Influence, take a moment and go out there and support another professional woman. We'll see you next week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.